Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Rue.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale Speaking.
One bikini boot camp at a time.
Exactly.
It's a song.
Cardio, core and cardio class, and Zumba, and yoga.
Jeez, take a break. Welcome to the third quarter quell. It's Hunger Games reference. Radio Dale number 75.
That was good.
Thank you.
So, this week in music history, guess what? Coldplay make their debut.
Ooh, for the song Bobby Wills' Never Didn't Love You.
Bobby never didn't love you.
No,
guys.
He didn't.
And for the roundtable discussion, and roundtable, I mean discussion between Rue and myself, we are talking about Canadians that are making waves.
Whoosh. I should put in a wave sound. Whoosh.
I think you just did.
Okay. Cool. So let's get on it. Let's do some music history weeking.
Yeah, so this is the fun little part before we get into the really in-depth roundtable conversation. Mm-hmm. This is where we just take a look at some really fun stuff that's happened in music history. So let's go. July 10th, today, 1965, the Rolling Stones, if you've heard of them, started a four-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Very good.
Anyway, Satisfaction.
Yes.
And it's their first chart topper in the States. Mm-hmm. And apparently, according to this, in the UK, the song was initially played only on pirate radio stations because the lyrics were considered too sexually suggestive.
Imagine if any song released today was released back then. It would never get any airplay. Or it would, modern day would be so disgusting. Because in the 60s, they just went all out, and it just degraded from there.
I find it funny because, yeah, because society was just so, like, peace and love and make love and
but don't, drugs. Don't talk about it.
But don't talk about not getting some.
I can't believe you said that on air. July 11th, 1981, the Specials had their second and final UK number one single with Ghost Town. Despite being a song about Coventry, the band chose to film the video of themselves driving a Vauxhall Cresta around some empty London streets.
I love that song. I downloaded it like 2 weeks ago. The two references I know it from are from the movie Snatch. Mm-hmm. And then the show Father Ted. It's one of my favorite Irish shows. And there's a scene where they hire a DJ for a really corny like charity event.
Yeah.
And he forgot all his records. But he just had that one song, so he just kept playing. And you know how the sound, I don't know if you know the song, but if you do, you kind of know it's kind of got like a really weird vibe to it. And he just kept playing it over and over, and it's not a song you would go to a dance to. So anyway.
You know, for the longest time, I thought Father Ted was more like Poirot or an Agatha Christie kind of thing. I thought it was like Monk or like a detective thing. And then I actually first saw a clip literally last week. Was the first time I'd ever seen a clip of Father Ted. I'm
so
like, this is
funny.
Not at all. They had the milk truck couldn't go under 4 miles an hour in one episode, making fun of speed. And I was watching it like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
It's really corny, but it's just, it'd be neat. Like, it depends on the humor you're into. But
yeah.
Father Ted, highly recommended.
Nice.
As well as the Specials. All right.
Back to music.
Back to the focus here. July 12th, 1986. Simply Red scored their first number one in the U.S. with Holding Back the Years.
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
As you said Simply Red, I thought Stars, which was like a big hit in like 91, I think.
Well, I was going to get rude to sing it, but he doesn't know
I'm
it.
Sorry.
So anyway, the singer of Simply Red, Mick Hucknall, wrote the song when he was 17. Impressive.
Oh, nice.
But the chorus didn't come to him till many years later.
Interesting.
So,
I always find that interesting.
When a song kind of sits there and pieces get added later.
I'll give you a Simply Red. But I want to fall from the stars straight into your arms. Do you remember that one?
I think so, but the only one I know is... it starts with the drums like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I got nothing.
Okay, that's it?
Anyway.
That's cool. July 13th, 1974, born on this day, Deborah Cox, Canadian R&B singer, songwriter, and actress.
You said that so weird.
I did.
Deborah Cox.
Deborah Cox, singer, songwriter, actress.
Really liked Deborah. She's still doing stuff, too.
Yep.
July 14th, 1973, during a concert at the John Wayne Theater in Hollywood, Phil Everly smashed his guitar and stormed off stage.
The first person ever to do that, I'm sure.
Don finished the set by himself, the brother.
Yeah.
And announced that they had split.
Yeah, I remember hearing this.
The brothers were done.
I heard they'd split on stage. I didn't know it had a guitar smash. 1973, did anybody ever smash a guitar before that?
The Who.
Oh, that's right. Who did it. I was about to say, if the Everly Brothers are the inspiration for rock bands smashing guitars, that would be kind of funny. July 15th, 2007, the UK music industry reacted angrily at a decision to give away Planet Earth, the new album by Prince, as a cover mount with the Mail on Sunday newspaper. I remember that.
Really?
I don't remember the backlash, but I do remember Prince doing this.
Wow.
The 10-track CD was not due to be released in stores until the 24th of July, so about 2 weeks later. Stephen Myron, the newspaper's managing director, said, "No one has ever done this before. We have always given away CDs and DVDs, but this is just setting a new level." And I think there was sort of frustration because I guess there was a concern that giving it away, but since it was being paid for, maybe a way to inflate numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think so, because you're not really buying the CD, you're buying a paper for like a buck, and the CD comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of interesting, like, how many CDs did he give away that day?
Yeah. And 2 weeks before, not 2 days.
Yeah, 2 weeks
not
before.
Not the day
release.
Before, 2 weeks before release.
Yeah.
Should see how the sales did on that.
Yeah.
July 16th, mm-hmm. 2000.
Oh, serious.
Coldplay went to number one on the UK album chart with their debut release, Parachutes. And the singles from that include Shiver, Yellow, Troubled, and Don't Panic. And actually won a Grammy for Best Alternative Music Album in 2002. So could you imagine releasing your debut album and you win a Grammy?
That's pretty crazy.
So, you know what? I love that record. That's my, like...
I got so overdone with Yellow, though, because it was played so often.
There's just so many good songs on that record.
We used to call them Radio Play Radiohead. Because that first album sounded like all these sort of softer Radiohead songs, but more radio-friendly.
But Chris Martin is just so misunderstood. No, I'm joking. And that was This Week in Music History.
Let's now consciously uncouple from This Week in Music History, Chris Martin reference, because that's what they said they did when they broke up. Humor? No. Pop culture? No.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow, yes. No, actually.
No.
Let's move on to a song.
Yes.
Sing, Amber. Okay, no.
I almost forgot which song we were doing this week. I had two going in my head.
Tell us a little bit about this week's song.
Is it Bobby Wills?
Yes, it's okay, Bobby
sorry.
Wills.
I couldn't remember if it was Chad or Bobby.
Now, we're having confusion only because so many songs have passed through as singles in the last, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've released quite a bit of singles.
It's a little confusing sometimes to know exactly how many songs are going on right now. But Bobby Wills.
Yes. So we have a brand new single that we released a couple of weeks ago from Bobby Wills. And if you're not familiar with him, he's a Canadian country artist who's actually, he just won a CCMA award last year. And he has released an album previously. And we have a new single from him called Never Didn't Love You. And already we've got the entire country panel playing this song. It's charting in the top 25, and we're looking at top 20 next week, and it's been a steady grow. So, Bobby Wills, if you're into country music and you haven't heard him yet, look him up online. We'll have links on the Podomatic and the SoundCloud and everything here for you. But here is the brand new single from Bobby Wills, and it's called Never Didn't Love You.
I always loved the way you made me feel, big and strong, open in a little jar. If I didn't say every single day, it doesn't mean it wasn't true. If I never told you, if I never showed you, if I never shouted from the rooftops how I felt about you, baby, I'll always believe you feel it, figured you'd
And we're back. Oh, what'd you
sorry.
Do?
Hit the table.
Uh-huh. Is that the excuse? It's like when you
did that sound your... awful in the microphone?
It sounded a little awful, yeah.
Oh, that was literally my foot, I swear.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. So we are going to have a roundtable talking about Canadians who are making waves currently in the charts, on the charts, maybe.
On
even.
The Canadian radio charts.
Canadian radio charts. And just to add a little bit of fun to it, I've also printed off the semi-recently announced Polaris long list.
Awesome.
So that we can kind of go through that as well. But what we'll be focusing on mainly is the Canadian Top 50, I believe it's called, chart. And we're going to look at some of the artists there.
Yeah, and this chart basically compiles all of the Canadians that are currently spinning on each format of Canadian radio. Mm-hmm. So whether it be rock, hot AC, CHR, AC, and country,
yeah.
They bring them all together and compare the spins and find who the top spun artists are. So we thought, you know, we missed an episode last week where it was, what the hell was last week? Canada Day.
Yes.
So, you know, this kind of fits into that.
Yes.
And, you know, we're in the midst of summer. We're halfway through, well, more than halfway through the year. And there's a lot of stuff happening. We just had the MMVAs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, feeling patriotic. Why not take a look at the Canadians that are really, really making waves, is essentially,
yeah.
as you put it, really making waves within the industry and really impressing people,
mm-hmm.
and finding out maybe why. And
yes.
what formats are dominating, and if you're a Canadian artist, what format do you want
to
be on?
Yeah, this is, it's an interesting thing to think of, because when I think of Canadian music, the first thing that always comes to my mind is rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Canadian rock is sort of known throughout the world. Pop is obviously coming up, thanks to some big successes with, like, Carly Rae and obviously Justin Bieber and people like that. But when I think Canadian music, I think rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the chart.
Yeah.
And it's not quite reflected in the chart.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Rock, like you're saying, like, you have so many bands like Tragically Hip and Sloan and
mm-hmm.
Blue Rodeo, all these bands that are so patriotic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, where with pop, sometimes it's a different game with pop.
Yes.
When you're a pop artist. So I guess let's take a look. I don't know how we want to break this down, but why don't we get into this, jump into the chart here.
Yeah.
The first interesting fact that I picked up on, and I'm sure you have as well,
mm-hmm.
this is the Canadian Top 50, the first 16 people
mm-hmm.
or musicians on this chart all are on pop radio.
Pop radio, yeah. The first 16. 100%
and let me
of
read.
The top 16
yeah.
are pop. There's no rock, there's no country. It's all pop.
So let me read. I won't read the singles. I'll just read the artists.
Yeah.
You have Chromeo, you have Magic, you have Headley, you have Keisha,
mm-hmm.
you have Deadmau5, you have Victoria Duffield, Classified, Down With Webster, Andy.
Who's francophone.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Virginia DeVegas, Serena Ryder, Nikki Yanofsky, Party Hero, and The Weeknd.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to note Magic and Headley. You may have noticed, if you were counting along, she only said 14 names. That's because Magic and Headley appear twice in the top 16.
Yeah. So that's, it's interesting to know. So right now, your top five, the top five spun songs by Canadians on Canadian radio
mm-hmm.
this week are Chromeo at number one with Jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Magic with Don't Kill the Magic. Number three is Headley with Crazy For You. Number four, Keisha with Hideaway. And number five, Magic with Rude.
Yep.
So Magic has two songs
in
the,
top five.
And they're a relatively new band.
Yeah.
So taking a look at that, and it's quite obvious that pop is dominates because of the amount of spins, and this is something we've gone over before, the amount of spins that pop radio dedicates to their hits.
Yes.
So, for example, Chromeo with Jealous, this week, in total, 2,559 spins on reporting stations in Canada. There are several stations that do not report to these PDS
mm-hmm.
charts, but right now we're just saying 2,559 spins. The first track that is not a pop track that is on the Canadian Top 50 chart is from Dean Brody, who
mm-hmm.
is a country artist, and his song is at number 17, and it's called Another Man's Gold. Total spins this week, 708.
It's a big difference.
And he's on
big
the country
drop.
Chart, on the BDS radio country spins chart, I don't know the exact number. I think he's number 10.
Number 10.
This week. So he's not even close to being number one.
In country.
In country, but he's the top spun Canadian country artist on that chart. Yeah. So that's fascinating to know. That tells you right there the difference in the amount of spins that you can get. Now, the other thing, too, is that Chromeo's getting spins on different formats, whether it be Hot ACCHR.
Or rock. They're getting some rock attention as well.
That's true.
Because Chromeo's sort of built up a reputation, kind of like how Chaos would get spin on rock stations.
Mm-hmm.
Chromeo kind of has that because of their sort of funky sound. Exactly. And they also play instruments on stage, and I think that's a big difference. A lot of rock stations seem to respect more poppy acts if those poppy acts are actually, they have instruments on stage rather than just a DJ or a producer. Now, when I was going through the list, I decided to break it down by percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, pop has the most with 40% of the chart is pop. But what's interesting is country is second with 36%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a big difference. It's a difference of two tracks. So 18 country songs, 20 pop songs on the top 50, which makes a total of 76%. Three quarters of the chart is pop or country.
Interesting.
A lot of people discount country. When I've said it before, when you talk to people and ask them, what do you listen to? So often the response is everything but country or rap, which I find funny because a lot of the pop music today has a rap element, and country obviously is country, and that makes up three quarters of what they're actually playing on radio. So either people are lying and they actually do listen to country and rap, or there's a big difference between sort of the general conversation of people, music fans,
mm-hmm.
and what people actually listen to when they're listening to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is with rock, I came in at 12 tracks for rock, which is about 24%, but I had to tweak a couple of decisions for this. For instance, Tegan and Sarah and Walk Off the Earth both are considered sort of rock bands,
mm-hmm.
but really they're more in the pop world.
Yeah,
like they're very much more of a pop band. So
yeah.
If I were to tweak accurately, it would probably be more like 80 to 85% are pop and country, leaving 20 to 15% rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of things that stood out to me. For instance, there are three acts that I consider 90s acts. You might be able to correct me on one because I'm not as knowledgeable. But Moist and Big Wreck,
yeah.
Obviously I think of as 90s bands. That's interesting that they're on the charts. It's interesting to see Moist back on the charts after such a long break,
mm-hmm.
Especially since David Usher left Moist, had that solo career. Terry Clark, she was through the 90s, right?
So she's through the 90s, but it's not really a comeback for her.
No.
Like she's kind of just been around.
And you could also say Jimmy Rankin, although he is very much as a solo artist, not a 90s artist. Mm-hmm. That started, what, to the early 2000s?
Yeah, his solo
Song Dog
stuff.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, it's been that.
But he's in at number 47 with his song Cool Car. And we have four acts that basically built up through the 90s.
Yeah.
And are back or sort of continuing on their careers. But then there are also artists like Mackenzie Porter, who's one of my favorites. She comes in at number 25, a country artist, and she's very much a new artist.
Mm-hmm.
You have Tim Hicks, who it's kind of hard to call him a new artist anymore, but he's still come to me, I consider him a new artist. And when it comes to the pop world, we're talking country and rock right now, when it comes to the pop world, there's a new artist just debuted on the chart at number 33. So that's a pretty high debut.
That's a big debut. Out of 50, yeah.
Yeah, and they are called Adventure Club. I almost said Adventure Game, but I'm like, that's not right at all. Adventure Club, who are a sort of EDM pop act out of Montreal. They have a huge online following.
Wow.
Huge. Almost a million on Facebook. Over 300,000 on SoundCloud. Normally when I see that, when it's a Canadian artist who isn't like a Canadian artist transplanted to the U.S., like Drake or something like that, I get a little ding in my head and I think, okay, they've bought fans, or like, I just think the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But looking through their SoundCloud, they have a lot of support, a lot of plays. So it goes to show you that when it comes to breaking into the pop world in Canada, being an EDM artist and putting up your music on SoundCloud and building up a following through the music is a really good way to go to eventually break into the charts.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the worst way to go seems to be rock.
Yeah. Well, if you take a look at the chart, the first rock song that you see in this top 50 is at number 29, and that's Sam Roberts with Human Heat.
That's pure rock song, because Walk Off the Earth is at 20, but they're more pop than rock at this point. Yeah.
In this, when we're talking this scenario, this is radio. So they are on pop radio.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we can get into that, like, are they pop, are they not kind of thing. But with this,
Sam Roberts,
you're broken down into your formats. Now, there are crossover hits, like you said, Chromeo. There isn't a whole lot here in this chart when it comes to crossovers, at least in the top 30 here. Mm-hmm. But for Sam Roberts, he's getting play on alt-rock and rock radio in Canada. So the total spins that he got this week to put him as the top rock artist on this chart is 459. So that just, again, shows you the amount of rock stations that are within the country and how many times they're spinning their top Canadian song. Yeah.
And I think it should be said, when you look at something like Jealous being like near 3,000, and you look at the top rock song by a Canadian being in the 400s, it gives the impression that, oh, I'm a rock band, I probably have an easier time getting on radio. Because obviously I need less spins to be a top rock artist. But I don't think that's necessarily the case.
No, because this is looking at Canadian radio market in general. These are looking at Canadian artists on Canadian radio. When you break down each individual format on their own, and you take a look at those individual charts, it's a completely different game. Because not only are you, as an artist, getting on that chart, Sam Roberts is sitting as the top spun Canadian artist, but then when you look at the chart, and it was even an example I used for country, Dean Brody being the top spun country artist, if you look, he's just at the top of the top 10. You still have to make it through all of those international acts. And the other thing, too, is that international acts typically get more spins than Canadian artists.
Yeah.
So there, for you to hit the top of a chart or to be put through, on even to make it on air, there's so many hurdles you have to get through. So just looking at the spins and saying, oh, well, my chances are better because there's, you know, it doesn't seem as competitive. Completely, completely, completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's difficult. You just have so many factors to take into consideration here. The main focus of this is just to show you who is dominating. So don't walk away from this thinking that it's going to be easy because you get, you know, it looks easier at a different station or a different format. But I think it's safe. Like, it's safe to say, and you pretty much probably assumed it, pop dominates.
Yeah.
And it always has, it always will. That's, you know, it comes down to who's buying that music, who the target market is. The market for them is the people with the disposable income. It's the teenagers, it's the girls, it's mommy and daddy's money being spent on tickets to go see Headley.
Yeah.
Right? So they're the marketable ones.
Yeah.
The next step down, country.
Yep.
Marketable, again, people are spending money, just people with disposable income. It's a format that's selling and is very popular. You've got superstars in country.
Yeah.
And then the next is rock. And rock is, it's still, there's fans, but it's a different audience.
It's a really different, and it's interesting because a lot of these acts, like for instance, the Warped Tour just came through town.
Yeah.
And you'll see a list of 100 bands and you'll maybe recognize 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to like a group of younger males or just like, even like just college age males, you'll see them wearing t-shirts of these bands that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing the shirt not only because they want to see them at a show, but because they're a fan of the band.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many, even back in high school, I remember bands that were not hugely popular, people walk around with t-shirts because there's this sort of, I don't know, this devotion to the rock sound, but it really doesn't play on radio. It doesn't translate to radio the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So this chart gives you the impression that everybody's running around listening to Victoria Duffield,
mm-hmm.
where it's, you'll have to correct me, there are fewer rock stations, that's part of it,
mm-hmm.
and obviously something might get played on alt-rock, but not on rock, something mm-hmm. might get played on rock, but not alt-rock,
mm-hmm.
and there's a whole bunch of reasons why a band can be hugely popular and successful, but not necessarily make it onto a chart like this.
Exactly, and I mean, if you take a look at, like, so we're bringing up some of the rock artists, and we haven't really gone through a lot of them, but you have Sam Roberts, you have 3 Days Grace, Theory of a Dead Man, Moist, Big Wreck, Pop Evil. You've also got Arkells, USS in the alt-rock area.
Yeah, Current Swell, indie rock.
Current Swell, and Lynx was getting some airplay on alt-rock. So, yeah. And Gloria
Sons. Oh, really? Because Lynx is sort of an EDM artist, but yeah. I guess... Another interesting thing to note is that Lynx, I believe, scanning through, is the only person here who doesn't have a label or anything like that listed. It looks like
most of their... Independent.
honestly independent, rather than independent label supported by Universal.
Exactly. Kind of so, looking at that, I mean, each format has their audience, mm-hmm. has the people they go to. It just depends on, like we said before, it's the market. It comes down to that. Rock is a different beast.
Yeah.
And it sells different. They're more about the live shows, the band going on tour.
Yeah.
Where you find with pop, it's the big festivals. It's the Kiss 92.5 show. It's the Z103 Summerfest. Like, it's all of that stuff where all of those people get together and do those kind of events. But these people are also... You know, media darlings.
Yeah.
Or on radio, or for rock, are you going to see Pop Evil on E-Talk?
No. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, like, are you going to see them doing that kind of stuff? No. So it's taking a look at... I want to use an example of something I came across the other day. I was speaking with a musician
mm-hmm.
who has music that they feel... fits. They have a song that they feel fits rock radio.
Yeah.
And then I asked what's on the album. They said it was rock. It was in a few other things, but not just rock.
Yeah.
It kind of went to different formats. And that was a concern to me because people get confused between having crossover hits so that you can have a song that starts at rock and moves into pop, which is ideal because then you're going to get a ton of spins. But then there's just having songs that are all over the place and don't really...
Sound on the album. Yeah.
You need an identity. So if you want to be a rock artist, you need to have that identity. You need to have the songs that represent that. And I don't want people to look at this and go, okay, well, you know, I need to have songs that fit all of these formats. I want to be on all of these formats. I 100% discourage that.
And that just causes confusion for anybody who's trying to figure you out.
And there was only a couple on this chart that you were actually sitting here going, well, Tegan and Sarah is kind of wrong. And this, but overall, everyone has their distinct format.
You can't confuse what Dallas Smith is doing. He used to be a rocker, but he's very clearly doing country now.
Arkells are rock.
You wouldn't look at an artist like Virginia DeVegas, who's another sort of newcomer, and think, oh, well, are they kind of a rock act?
Yeah.
You listen to the song, you're like, this is 100% pop.
So if you're a Canadian artist looking to get on Canadian radio, you need to find where you fit.
Mm-hmm.
The crossover stuff, that happens naturally.
Yeah. Don't aim for it. It happens if it happens.
Yeah, there's a strategy that goes behind it, and obviously the strategy is if it's, you know, belongs on rock and pop, you start at rock. You don't start at pop. But again, that's the strategy that comes later. But if you have music, write it so that you know that it's going to a specific format, but don't write it
for
the
don't
format.
Don't write it for,
like,
radio, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard advice to give. It's weird advice to give because it sounds confusing, but there's so many people we run into that look at these charts and they go, well, this person's here and this person's there. There are reasons they are there. There's a reason why Serena Ryder was able to do what she did with crossover.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, did she sit down and go, I want to make this song go on all formats?
Yeah, like, I highly doubt she was sitting there thinking, I generally do sort of rock or more of sort of an indie sound, alternative sound. I've got an idea. I'm going to go pure pop and let's see what happens. I think she just wrote a song.
Yeah. And there could be a situation where you bring it to someone like us and we say, you know what? If this just had more guitar, we could really make this happen. And that's where those discussions come in, But anyway, I think it was very interesting. And Rue, you have your...
I have the Polaris list and I just pulled it out just sort of as a coda, I guess, to the discussion because we're talking about charts. This is a chart of a different kind. These are generally independent artists. It's sort of the equivalent of the Mercury Prize in the UK and stuff like that, where they look at independent artists who have released albums in the last year. They start with a long list. It gets broken down to a short list, which will actually be next week on July 15th.
Right.
And then a jury votes on what they believe was the best independent album in Canada. Now, There are two people on the list who have previously won. Arcade Fire, obviously, they won for The Suburbs, and Owen Pallett, under the name Final Fantasy, won the very first Polaris Prize.
Okay.
But there are a few standouts. For instance, Arcade Fire, they're a pretty big band. You almost wouldn't think of them as independent. Even more so, Drake is on the list. And you would never think that he's considered an independent artist anymore, but apparently, whatever deal he has...
Whatever defines independent in that situation works.
...is indie. Also on the list, Chromeo, who are not only the only artists on the list who are currently charting on
Canadian
commercial radio, because some of these guys are probably charting on campus.
Yeah.
But they're number one currently on the top 50. So they're doing pretty well for themselves right now.
That's a good thing to think about.
And a couple of standouts that I've noticed, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but Pup, who were recently getting a lot of attention thanks to the indies, they're on the list. The Sadies, who are sort of much beloved, they're on the list. The Strumbellas, who we have worked with in the past, they're on the list with a new album, We Still Move on Dance Floors.
I really like Astra.
Astra is very cool. And Ray Spoon is actually a very interesting character. I kind of, when it comes to underdogs, I see Ray Spoon as being very likely not only being an amazing songwriter, but is transgendered. And he's the only transgendered person on the list.
Nice.
When I was looking at a list previously describing all the people on the Polaris shortlist, one thing that was noted is that there are very few women on the list. In fact, the women on the list tend to be a member of the band.
Right.
And even more likely, tend to be the fiddler and not even like a front person.
Not even.
For instance, with the Strumbellas.
Astra, I know, is female.
Yeah.
With females in the band fronted.
Cowboy Junkies,
yeah.
That's another sort of interesting standout. There's always one artist you see on the list, like Leonard Cohen was nominated last year, where you see it and you're like, oh my god, like Cowboy Junkies are a 90s artist that were very, very popular in the 90s in Canada, and here they are back with a new album.
Well, that's really cool because it's a different side, because you have Canadian commercial radio, which we, you know, took a glance at before this, and then you have the people that, yes, some of them, like you say, what, two of them?
Drake and Arcade, or you have previously won, or are
big. Or that are on Canadian radio. So
Arcade
Chromeo.
Fire, Chromeo's on radio. Arcade Fire Drake, traditionally obviously. Is Drake, obviously.
And Strumbellas a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, a lot of these artists fit more into the satellite and CBC world.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother, you know, side of the, and campus radio too.
Yep.
Earshot charts. So that's really interesting that not only do we look at the Canadians that are, you know, dominating the,
you know, the commercial chart,
commercial radio, but also the people that are dominating the other side of it, and the buzz bands.
The buzz bands.
So it just shows that you can be successful in different parts.
Oh, yeah.
Canadian commercial radio is not the end-all be-all.
It isn't. And I think that's our roundtable.
Good way to wrap it up.
We should just do one last quick thing.
Yes.
Now, super secret. We obviously record this the day before, so we do not know the result of today's World Cup game, but we mentioned on the last show that we do have a World Cup pool.
Go Germany!
Amber's very excited about Germany.
Oh,
ah. I don't like them at all.
But you and have Argentina today.
I have Argentina today.
Yeah.
So we're going to see if Argentina does well, and then India has the Netherlands. So we're going to see which one of us is fighting who for first place. In which one of us is fighting who for third place, basically, for the next game. Actually, next week we'll know the winner.
Yeah.
So we will announce the winner of the World Cup.
And I'll be drinking my Starbucks that I won.
Oh,
during
is that
the
it?
Podcast.
I don't know. The Netherlands might come in and. Or Argentina, you never know.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.